All right. Open up your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and we'll carry on with our study on Romans chapter 8. I told you how big this chapter is, and it encompassed Psalm 91. A lot of people don't understand how much God wants them to be protected, how much God wants to protect you. There was a verse in the Bible. I'm going to get there. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, because this one faked me out for the longest time. And I looked at it and I thought, man, that just can't be what it actually says. And so I just finally gave up on it. But there's people that translated the Bible that really shouldn't have been translating nothing. But when you look up words and find out the meanings of words, it changes these scriptures. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding. Now that I could swallow. I could understand that. Nor yet favor to men of skill. I can buy into that. But time and chance happened to them all. That's almost leaves you sitting there thinking that you get lucky one day and then not lucky the next. You know, people run around wanting luck on their side. People, there's Christians running around with lucky rabbit's foot. You know, I ran into people wearing crosses are my favorites to witness to. Because one time I walked in, we were remodeling this gym, and there was a lot of bodybuilders in there. And there was this guy that could break me in half in there. He had a cross on his chest. And I went up there and I grabbed that cross. I said, is this a good luck charm? Or are you really believing Jesus for your salvation? His eyes got about that big. I said, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And he said, I was hoping somebody would tell me something about him. And he got born again right on the spot. My buddies, they looked at me like, gee. They couldn't even believe I walked up and did that to that guy. But he was using it as a luck charm, hoping something good would happen. When you understand Psalm 91 and you're placing yourself under the protection of God and depending on Him, then right happenings happen to you. Not luck. Remember there, verse 11. It says, time and chance happen to them all. We're looking for right happenings. When you break down these words, you'll find out that it's right happenings that are orchestrated by God. So, you know, this is where the Amplified Bible will come in good, because they'll break those words down and bring out the true meaning of what these verses mean. We're looking for right happenings orchestrated by God, not luck. And when you start personalizing Psalm 91, these right happenings will happen to you too. Place yourself under His protection. Depend on Him. Now, last Sunday, we found out the third thing that was wrapped up in Luke chapter 1, verse 77 through 79, you know, the salvation part of it. That's a big word. It's not just being born again. We found out last Sunday that we were justified by faith. Justified by faith. When you think about this, when you get a revelation of this, it'll really help you a lot. But you can't be justified until you've been judged. You first have to go through the judgment before you can be justified. When God raised Jesus back to life, that's when you got justified freely by His grace. Nothing that we could do could ever earn that. Now, you can stand in God's presence just as if you'd never sinned. That's what justified really stands for. Just as if I'd never sinned. Your mind's racing. You're sitting there thinking about what you did yesterday. Or an hour ago. But because of the blood of Jesus, you have been washed perfectly clean. Nothing we could do on our part to make that happen. All we could do is call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen? Let's get to the fourth thing here. This is a big deal. Go to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. The whole world is looking for this. And unfortunately, they'll go to a church gathering and they won't find it there. So they'll run to the doctor and the doctor will mask the symptoms and they'll have peace for a little bit, but then they'll have to take more. Sometimes people will go to alcohol or drugs, any number of things to find peace. Sometimes, I've known people that will go back to a violent situation because they could find peace in that situation. Somebody said, how could that be? I said, well, one time, you know, I told them, I said, that woman doesn't know anything but chaos. And we moved her out to a safe place. But see, that's new and different. And doesn't know the rules, doesn't know anything else. And then pretty soon they move back into that situation that they know is bad. But there is places of comfort in there because they know what to expect. But what the world is looking for is peace. How many of you have ever wanted this thing to just shut up? Just shut up. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over onto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. Oh, that's Mark. I'm sorry. Romans. What did I do? Man, maybe I need some peace. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stop at that verse. We've been justified by faith. How do we do that? Father, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe you raised him back to life. I confess you to be the Lord of my life. That washes your sins away. And here's the thing. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You've been justified freely by his grace. You've been made a new creature in Christ. Your sins have been dealt with once and for all. That takes a load off. See, when a person feels like there's a judgment coming his way, there's fear wrapped up in that, and you actually feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders. But when you find out that that's been cleaned, washed away from you, lifted off of you, you feel lighter. When you understand what Jesus did for you, It sets you free. That'll cause, you know, the reason people don't have peace with themselves is they don't seem to have peace with God because they think there's a judgment coming their way. Did the blood of Jesus do what the Bible said it did? Then relax. Sit down and receive His love by faith. Amen? Verse 2 says, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Grace is one of my favorite things. I'd rather be shocked full of grace than shocked full of talent. Because I've seen some talented people that didn't get a lot done. But I've seen some people that didn't have a whole bunch of talent, but they were under grace, and they really rocked the world. Amen? I'll take the grace. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now this one, if we're honest, every one of us whine when something bad happens, a little bit. Just a little bit, once in a while. But it says we glory in tribulations. Well, okay, sometimes. We're people. We're in these earthen vessels. But really, honestly, if you look at a tribulation as an opportunity to grow in faith, if you look at a tribulation as a doorway to something better, it'll help you through this stuff. It'll help you with patience. Now, patience is one of those things that is a fruit of the Spirit. And it's developed through fellowship with Him. And I got to tell you, this world is just, America has just gotten spoiled rotten. You know, I can punch a button on my computer and I can get information immediately from across the nation. It used to be, I'd have to fill out a little thing out of a magazine. I used to have to fill out a little form, put a check in it, put it in an envelope, put a stamp on it, mail it off. 2 weeks later, that information would get back, if it was running pretty smooth. Sometimes three. That's patience. Now, the world's going to come to end. If the internet's just a little bit slow. Come on. Just relax. Just relax. Just a little bit. Patience. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation works patience. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You know, I was incapable of truly loving anything until the love of God was shed abroad in my heart. It changes people from the inside out. Verse 6 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. That's us. We weren't worth much. But Christ died on the cross for us anyway. And then he led us into the family. Now we're in a good family with a good, loving Heavenly Father, with all these promises in the Bible for us. That's good news. Verse, peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die, but God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Don't think for a minute that he loves us because he sent his son to die for us. That's backwards. He sent his son to die for us because he loved us. He loved us when we were unlovable. He loved us anyway. When you believe the love of God will protect you. Much more than being now justified by his blood, not our good works, not our good behavior, not by anything we could ever do, but we're justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Right there. There is pastors that will preach every Sunday that we're going to be judged by God. Christian, you've already been judged. The gavel came down and said, not guilty. You're justified by the blood of Jesus. Period. I mean, you're saved from wrath. Remember when we took communion and I said that bread was slightly burned? That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross? That happened. That literally happened. The sins of the whole world came on Jesus. And God turned his face from him. And Jesus said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. So my God, why have you forsaken me? That was the first and only time Jesus ever addressed him as God. Every other time he addressed him as Father. But when he was on that cross, he addressed him as God. Now because God turned his eyes away from Jesus, he'll never ever turn his eyes away from you. And he's not looking at you in a judgment mentality. He's looking at you through the blood of Jesus. That's a good way to be. The way he sees Jesus is the way he sees you. When he looks at you, he sees the sacrifice of his son. When he loves you with the same love that he loves Jesus with. Now, you can understand that verse in the Bible that says, as he is now, so are we in this world. How does God look at Jesus? Pretty favorably, I would say, wouldn't you? That's how he sees you. That's how he sees you. What about if I make a mistake? You have an advocate with the Father, and his name is Jesus, and he's your high priest. And Jesus said, I paid for that sin. He's not guilty. All right. Verse 10 says, for if when we were enemies, we were enemies of God. We were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. It's all about Jesus. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Literally, we're covered in the blood of Jesus. That's what atonement means, is a covering. But the first thing the blood of Jesus did when you got born again is that blood washed away your sins. That's remittance. It washed it away. But you have a continual covering. That's the atonement. You're covered in the blood of Jesus. When you start personalizing this and start leaning on this, you'll see protection coming your way. You'll see blessings coming your way. You'll see success coming your way. You'll see favor. You'll see right happenings that are orchestrated by God coming your way. Amen. Anybody need any right happenings in their life? Amen. Well, another thing that happened was holiness and righteousness. You know, some of these words used to just really weird me out. Because the devil doesn't like you to get revelations of holiness and righteousness. And he does everything in the world he can do to try to make these words sound bad to me. See, holiness was one of those things I tried to avoid early on as a Christian. And I'll tell you why, because I heard a lot about holiness when I was in the bar drinking whiskey. I'm serious. Somebody would have a run-in with a churchgoer and they'd come down to the bar and say, I'm tired of their holier-than-thou attitude. Who do they think they are? I thought, wow. And then righteousness was the one that tore me up too. Because there were people running around acting righteous. And they had me convinced that it had something to do with clothing. And the way you acted. So here's the thing. You need to understand about righteousness. It means right standing. When you got born again, you got put into right standing with God because of what Jesus did. On this earth, when a father gives his son a chore, says, when you get home from school, I want you to mow the lawn. So when dad gets home from work and that lawn is mowed, you're in right standing. Probably going to go fishing. If, however, you were like me and dad got home, I think you'd go fishing with dad a lot. That lawn wasn't mowed. You weren't in right standing when dad got home. That's in human terms. But we didn't do anything right in our lives. And the only thing good about it is the blood of Jesus washed away everything wrong and replaced it with everything that needed to be made right. Holiness, you've been made holy. Yeah. There are people that will spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and days and months trying to figure out how to be more holy. Believe on Jesus. And sanctification is another thing. Once you get born again, you get sanctified by that blood of Jesus. But there can be an ongoing sanctification where you can let more of the world slip off and take more and more of Jesus. John Baptist, he coined it the best. He said that he needed to decrease so that he could increase. You know, we can get off by ourselves. You know, we can start cutting things off of us, off of the world, you know, letting, you know, sometimes there's good things you know, things that are not a sin, but you can let those go and get deeper into Jesus. You know, you can get so far to the point where you'd be, you know, Wayne Myers is down to just a basic, they have a refrigerator and a car and a bed. The world, the things of the world just have no attachment to him. I'm not that far. But there's, you can get deeper and deeper into sanctification. Here's a biggie. The sixth thing, I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll finish with this one, but you should have these verses highlighted. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them who rose again. Jesus died for us. He died for our sins. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yet though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. That's a big verse. Know no man after the flesh. They're either born again or they're not. And if they are born again, they need to be encouraged. If they're not, they need to get that way. Regardless of anything, regardless of the color of their skin, regardless of how much money they got, regardless of what clothes they're wearing, how many tattoos they've got, I don't care. Know no man after the flesh. Period. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's a biggie for me. I spent a lot of my time sitting there wishing that I could just start life over with a clean slate. And I was born again. But man, my life was a train wreck. It was a train wreck. Before I got born again. And the train was still wrecking after I got born again. It just took a little while to get that thing in reverse and get going back the right way again. But here was my key right here. I didn't even know I had it. When you get born again, you get made a new creature in Christ Jesus. A new creature has no past. Sometimes people spend too much time letting their past haunt them. When you've got a bright and glorious future in God, in Christ Jesus, don't let your past, do not let your past dictate your future. Don't let your past ruin your future. And don't let your past mess up your present. Amen? As far as God's concerned, your past has been dealt with. It says, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. God does not have a chalkboard up there saying, I just seen it, Jesus, there's one more demerit for you. There's another mark. I thought, how many marks do I got left? You know what kind of gave me, really solidified that impression on me? When I was a kid, sometimes I would go to Sunday school because they had cookies and they had grape juice. And they had this board in there. And they'd have your names on this board. And every time you showed up there, they put a gold star by your name. And I'd see these kids that have gold stars, they'd have old big long lines of gold stars. I'd have two. I thought, uh-oh. It ain't looking good. But then I equated that with demerit marks. I thought, how many of those do I got? Because I don't have very many gold stars. God's not that way. People are. God's not demeriting you. He looks at you favorably because of the blood of Jesus, not what you did. He sees you as forgiven because of the blood of Jesus. Regardless of what you did. Let's finish here. It says, now we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now, there's a lot of people sitting around wondering what God's will for their life is. Right there it is. When you get born again, you've been made an ambassador for Christ. Now you can go tell your buddy, said, man, I didn't know this, but God's not mad at you. And Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And if you ask him to be your Savior, he'll save you. And you won't have to go to hell. We have tracts back here to help people get through this process of witnessing to people, or you can bring them to church. If you don't want to get them born again, I will. Amen? And then the big home run right here, this is the ticket to every blessing you're going to understand. Verse 21 says, for he has made him to be sin for us. He literally, Jesus took all of our sins on him. Every one of them. And Jesus never knew a sin. He never once committed a sin. But he took all of ours on him, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He did all that to put us in right standing with God. Now, when you're in right standing with God, you're fully qualified for all his blessings. You're fully qualified for all of his favor. You're fully qualified for his healing. You're fully qualified for everything he has for you. He wants you to receive it. You're not going to earn it. But you can receive it. Amen? Well, thank you, Father, for your word. Father, we thank you for your protection. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for everything that you do for us every day. Watching over us, caring for us. We thank you that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. You are truly the best Father ever. We receive your love and grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we got a lot of food back here. We got some fresh cabrito, some fried chicken. There's all kinds of stuff. Come on back.